You're listening to the best of Talkin' Sports with Byron, an on-demand audio presentation of RedPeachSports.com and ESPN977.com.
Thunder, baby, brought to you every week right here in the Coldwell Banker Group 1 Realty Studio in West Monroe. Driving us down the road, keeping us between the white lines, Mr. Cub himself, John Tabor. Hello, sir.
Good afternoon. Or go evening, Cubbies. Something like that.
And I say go Cubbies. I had to call in this morning and felt like I needed to defend you and everything. But
defend me? I need defending.
Not defend you, but, you know, certain people are wondering why the, you know, baseball's on and really does Theo Epstein really deserve the credit and, you know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I've said it, you know, I'm a Dodgers fan. Go Dodgers. But the Cubs, as a sports fan, the Cubs are the story. The Cubs are a great story. That's the interest. And if Theo Epstein pulls this off after what he did in Boston, it's instant Hall of Fame. Don't wait till he retires. Don't wait till 5 years after he retires. Put him in there now. I mean, I'm sorry, but two of the biggest, most, air quotes here, cursed teams in baseball, and you take them both to the Super Bowl and win, I mean, the Super Bowl, the World Series and win it, you get what, you know, whatever you want, pretty much. Has he even hit 40 yet, Tabor?
Who's that?
Theo.
Theo, I think he's 42, something like that.
Good grief. Welcome to Talking Sports, everyone. It's just you and me, and I'm B. I'm not Fox, because I can't be, because I'm me. Or something like that. But good show for you tonight. We've got Richwood football coach Robert Arvey on the show tonight. We've got West Monroe High School offensive coordinator and former Bulldog Glenn Hunt. And we'll speak at about 6:45 with the new stars Cody Futrell, talk a little high school football and a little postseason baseball. One of the things I want to talk about, hopefully Sand's still here.
Present.
Thank you, sir. So I noticed what Grambling has named its 13-member committee to search for a new athletic director.
Mm-hmm.
Since my affiliation with sports in Lincoln Parish, which began in roughly 89, 90, I don't have it at the top of my head. I have to go back and count, but how many presidents and ADs and basketball coaches do you think there have been at Grambling State?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
I know ADs. It's been 11 in 12 years.
11 in 12 years. And the one they fired 2 years ago was on this committee.
Mm-hmm.
That just seems strange, saying, I love Aaron James, you know, but he's fired, and you want him to help you find the new one.
I think it goes a little deeper than that, though, B.
I'm sure it does. And there's got to be more than, oh, just he was an AD 2 years ago. I mean, he is part of Grambling lore. Mm-hmm. I understand that, you know, but if he's part of Grambling lore and you value his input, I mean, was he a terrible AD? If he's a terrible AD, why are you bringing him back? I mean, again, the scenario is not – I'm not talking about Aaron James necessarily the person. I'm talking about the situation. You know, you've got some – I mean, you know, Willis Reed, absolutely. Jim Oakes, okay. You know, but I'm just trying to understand the situation. What is – you know, Rick Gallo, absolutely. Love Rick Gallo. He's a good guy. Known him for close to 20 years now. I'm so happy for him, happy for Grambling that he's there. We've had a couple of pretty good presidents at Grambling, but nothing seems to last. What's going on?
Well, I'm going to tell you my opinion of it, and some people may not like it, but as Sean says, that's just the way the world goes. Part of it is the responsibility of the state. And when you think about it, I hear a lot of people talking about why can't Grambling keep a president. This has nothing to do with the people at the university per se. This has everything to do with the people that are put in place. If you think about it, when you're going out and you're searching for an employee, or if you're searching for a leader of your company or whatever the case is, you look at what's happened in the past and what track record that person brings to the table. Well, if you start looking at some of those things, when you see those people that come in and you're putting them in place, because remember, the state has the ultimate decision in Absolutely. Putting a president in place. The state has that decision, not the university. The university can give all kinds of input. They can listen to all kinds of people. But you know what? I've always been told there's two types of meetings. There's the one you have in public and the one you have behind closed doors. And I'm telling you, there's been a lot of cases where the state has put people in place for one reason or another that have not worked out. And, you know, when you look at some of, you know, there's a lot of blame that can go around. You can look at the person individually. You can look at the state and what their stuff is. And then at the same time, you have to look at what the state has done prior to the governor, John Bel Edwards. How much money have you taken from higher education as a whole in this state? You have shown businesses and industry the type of dedication that you have to higher education by how much money you've taken from them. You're not going to survive in that. So with all of the with the revolving door presidents that you've had at Grambling and the continuing revolving door of athletic directors, you know, somebody asked me earlier today, why can't Grambling be consistent? 11 ADs in 12 years? And that's not just that's not about the university. That's about who are we putting in place at the top. And that's why I'm glad that, you know, they decided on President Gallo, because, you know, you got to start having someone in place that understands the culture, that understands what Grambling is right now, not 50 years ago, but what Grambling is right. right now, and then being able to take that into the future. Because ultimately, if you want to find the best talent, you have to make sure that you're bringing them into a good situation. And when you have a president that only has a one-year contract or a one-year deal, who's leaving their job that's comfortable that they have the opportunity to be solidified in their position that they're at for 1 year? Because if that president leaves, guess what? A new president come in and says, you know what, I don't want you as the AD anymore. Nobody's going to leave for that.
Exactly. And so I remember, you know, and again, to your point, the behind closed doors meetings, people are always doing favors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I need look at Lawson Swearingen at ULM. Loved Lawson Swearingen, the guy. Didn't really work out. And speaking of favors, that didn't really work out for Grambling either.
Well, that was a whole other case because, again, you had somebody who was strong sitting in leadership, and then you had the state at that point in time. You had some really, really questionable things going on at the top levels of the state. To me, again, this didn't have anything to do with Grambling. This had to do with things that they did not want a president telling them what to do. And that's been the problem. Empower the president at the institution to do his job. And that's what Favors was doing. Then what happens? He's doing his job. He's not going to kowtow to a lot of foolishness. You get rid of him. That's what was going on.
Exactly. He brought in, I'm trying to remember the finance guy that he brought in to clean things up. That guy was cleaning things up. But again, he's not. If he's doing his job and he's smart enough and he knows what he's doing it right, and then he gets backlash, he's not going to stick around.
No.
Why would he do that? You know, like, to your point again. So it does seem like, but I can't help but think that Rick Gallo would not have taken this job if he did not know that he was going to have the power to do the things that needed to be done.
And I think that's what – I think this goes beyond just the board. I think this goes to the regents and even into the government, in the governor's office. Because you know what? You don't put a person like Rick Gallo in place where you're going to give him sheer hell every single day trying to make decisions. That doesn't happen, especially with the levels of government that he's dealt with and the kinds of contacts that he has. To me, this was one of those things where I think some people above the board made some decisions and says, you know, well, look, this is embarrassing. Because at the end of the day, the state has to have some culpability in what they did in putting people in place that should have been in place. Let's just be right. honest about that. And when you do things like that, you can't blame the school for that because the school doesn't put people in place. The state does.
Absolutely. And then on this AD search, I'm hoping that Rick Gallo, and I'm assuming and I'm pretty sure that Rick Gallo will be leading that committee and saying, this is what we're looking for. This is what we're going to do. And hopefully he's going to have the final say on that and be able to, because I'm fortunate to have been around Lincoln Parish Athletics enough when Coach Ed, Coach Rob was still at Grambling. I know the tradition. I know the history. Buck Buchanan, Big Hands, all of those. There's a lot to be proud of in Lincoln Parish on up and down that highway in Lincoln Parish. Grambling has a lot to be proud of. And 11 ADs in 12 years or whatever it is, that's not to be proud of. That's nothing to be proud of. So I just wanted to get your input on this. as something that, you know, constantly I'm looking at it and, you know, hey, Grambling getting a new president. Hey, Grambling's getting a new basketball coach. Hey, Grambling's getting a new AD. Where does it end?
Well, I think that you got the right person in place that can help you stabilize the situation, starting with the fact that he was able to get a contract longer than a year. And I think that's where it starts there. The state has to be able to show a little bit of faith in the people that they put in place in order to let them do their job. And I think that you have that. And I think you also have somebody that understands the community, understands state politics and state government, which is extremely important in where we are right now in our stage, in this stage and age with Louisiana. So, you know what? We continue to support him, and I think that you got a lot of people on campus supporting him. You have a lot of people in the community that are supporting him, that want him to do well. But I think you've got a lot of eyes that are on the state now to make sure that they do what's necessary in order to make sure that this man has what he needs to get this university just not just surviving. And I think that too many times we get into survival stage and we get to the top of survival and think that we've made it. We got to stop thinking like that. You got to go beyond survival to success. And I think that's why it's so important that you have Rick in there for this time.
Saying thanks for sticking around. I appreciate your time. We're going to hit our first break. We are brought to you by Cypress Bend Apartments in West Monroe. For your next apartment, cypressbendproperties.com. As always, we are brought to you by DBAT of Monroe. DBAT for all your baseball and softball training needs, dbatmonroe.com. You're listening to Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM.
Tex-Mex at its best. Start with Log Cabin's own house-made salsa, queso, and guacamole. Then, mix up the Tex-Mex with the area's only barbecue enchiladas, quesadillas, and nachos. Of course, everyone's favorite for lunch and dinner is the quesadillas, with your choice of meat or sautéed vegetables in a tortilla grilled to a golden brown. Tex-Mex at Log Cabin Grill and Market, a quarter mile north of the intersection of I-20 and Highway 33.
DBAT Monroe is the premier baseball and softball training facility in the country. DBAT has cage rentals with pitching machines that use real baseballs and softballs to work one player or an entire team, and you can reserve a cage right on the website. DBAT has private baseball and softball lessons and over 50 camps and clinics. Ask about spring break and summer camps, college camps and clinics too, with top coaches from around the country. For the latest info, go to dbatmonroe.com. That's dbatmonroe.com. DBAT Monroe, 2511 Washington Street.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
The following is a message from the Bud Light Party.
This election year, our calendars are filling up with lesser holidays, and it's becoming a problem. There's National Lumpy Rug Day, Shrimp Scampi Day, and Bat Appreciation Day. Everything is worth celebrating with a Bud Light, but come on, Bat Appreciation Day? This message approved by the Bud Light Party. Raise one to right now.
Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Chef Alon Shaya, and I love being a tourist right here in Louisiana. It's easy to do thanks to LouisianaTravel.com. Whether it's a day trip outside of town to try a new restaurant or a three-day outdoor adventure with the family, LouisianaTravel.com has all the trip ideas and planning tools you'll need. So log on, explore our great state, and pick your passion in Louisiana. Visit LouisianaTravel.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Office of Tourism and this station.
Welcome back to Talkin' Sports here on ESPN 97.7 FM. Thanks also to Dr. K.C. Wade in Monroe, another broadcast partner of the show. Big game Friday night. Carroll Bulldogs, the Sea Dogs, 5-1 at Richwood, 3-3. Last week, Richwood was at Union Parish. And tonight we've got Coach Richard Arvey of Richwood on the show with us. Welcome, Coach.
Okay, glad to be here, Byron. Thanks for having me.
No problem. You had a tough one last week. Went over to Union. Tell me what happened in that game.
Well, I thought the kids competed well. I thought we had two tough road games, going to Bastrop and going to Union. So our goal was to just get out of there, go out there and compete for four quarters. And I thought our kids did that. You know, the second straight year, Union scored right before halftime that really stung them. But other than that, I thought the kids played well. Defense didn't give up any points the second half. You know, they ended up blocking a punt. But all in all, I thought the kids competed and played well for four quarters.
All right, yeah, and it's – you know, it gets tough, and especially when somebody scores right before the end of the first half, that momentum changes. You go into halftime kind of down on yourself a little bit, and sometimes it's tough to recover from that. Hopefully
like
that won't.
It was 8-7 with 5 seconds to go, and they were on about the 30-yard line, and, you know, we should have just defended the goal line, but they made a great play, a reverse pass back to their quarterback, and he made a great catch, and defense came back and pretty much shut them down the second half.
Well, hopefully that won't happen this week. You guys have another tough task. You're at home for this one, but you're hosting the 5-1 Sea Dogs of Carroll.
Yeah, well, our whole thing is at this point in time we're 3-3, and the last three out of four games is at Richwood, and so we it's bottom line we have to protect our home turf. And it starts this Friday with Carroll.
So what did you do differently this week? What have you talked to the guys about, and what's the focus?
It's mainly as long as they gave us, you know, we didn't have school Monday and Tuesday, but the kids were able to stay focused and to show up for good work day. So we're able to get everything in. But pretty much we're going to do what we do, and it's just a matter of seeing if we can score a little bit, some points offensively. I think if offensively, we can put up 21 points. We can beat anybody with the defense that we have.
You definitely have a strong defense. Before these last couple of losses, you guys were coming on, and it just, you know, you hit those last two snags. What does that do to your team when things are going well and all of a sudden you have two games like that?
Nothing. Like I said, the kids defeated. We went too fast, and we was able to got two turnovers. We scored on those two turnovers, and exactly what we wanted. And we just gave it to them right at the end. And for Union, like I said, they rushed for 400-something yards the week before against Calvary, and to hold that Union offense to just 155 yards of rushing, I mean, that was a big deal for our defense. So while we continue to play like we've been playing, we just have to go to two or three touchdowns offensively. We had our opportunities inside the 30 last week, twice in the first quarter, and we didn't come up with any points. So our goal is when we get inside the 30, I mean, we have to come away with some points.
Well, you only scored 7 last week, and like you're saying, if you can put points on the board, you have enough faith in your defense, getting those turnovers against Bastrop and holding Union to that low rushing total last week definitely has to be you know, again, your kids, like you said, they competed, and that's obvious. So yeah. Your offense is what needs to get on track this week.
That's right. That's right. Now, like they put a couple of new records in, but all in all, it's just the kids. Just I told you, just got to compete a little harder, run with an attitude, and we block with an attitude, and we continue. We do that. We're gonna be just fine. We just got to find a way to put the ball in the end zone.
All right. Well, Coach, I appreciate you taking the time to come on with us this evening. Have a good rest of the evening and get after those Carroll Bulldogs.
Okay, thanks for having me, Byron. Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
All right, Coach. So, Carroll Bulldogs at the 5-1 Carroll Bulldogs at 3-3 Richwood this week. Wasserman 4-2 is at Union 2-4. Of course, one of those two wins for Union Parish. is against those Richwood Rams from last week. West Monroe, 4-1-1. They're hosting 2-4 Natchitoches Central this week. We're going to have offensive coordinator Glenn Hunt on with us about 6:30. In the Shreveport area, Houghton 4-2 at Airline, 5-1. That should be a pretty good game. Covered those teams before quite a few years back. I've mentioned that before, but Houghton and Airline this week. For the first time in a long time, and I know our other programs have talked about this, but Byrd not ranked, not up there, not winning. Southwood 1-5 at 1-5 Byrd. Captain Shreve 4-2 at Evangel 4-2. That'll be an interesting game. Parkway at 5-1. Benton at 5-1 suffered its first loss last week against Minden. So that was, I'm sure that was an interesting game. The Crimson Tide of Minden taking over the Benton Tigers. North DeSoto 3-3 hosting 1-5 Northwood. Red River 5-1 at, interestingly enough, 3-3 Calvary. So good games over in the Shreveport area. West Ouachita is at Franklin Parish. West Ouachita coach Joey Pender got those Chiefs at 3-3, and they should have a. And you know, I don't know if you talk to, I believe it's Brett Hudson, who's kept saying that Franklin Parish was bound to break out, and they did this past week. They're 1-5. Tioga, who's having a good season, 6-0, is at 3-2 Bastrop. Grant 5-1 at Neville, undefeated 5-0. We had Neville coach Mickey McCarty on last week, and you know, those guys are just rocking and rolling. Of course, OCS rocking and rolling there, undefeated as well. Bossier 3-3 at 6-0 Minden. A lot of good games. We're going to get to some of the others when we get Cody Futrell on here at about 6:45. We are going to take our next break. Again, we are presented by DBAT of Monroe, and we are brought to you by Cypress Bend Apartments in West Monroe as well, cypressbendproperties.com. We'll be back talking sports, ESPN 97.7.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man. Mud on your face, you big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing,
we will rock you, we will rock you.
Buddy, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street, gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face, you big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
ESPN 97.7 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you love has been injured in an accident or a victim of medical malpractice, you need to go Guerrero.
Hey, y'all, this is Jim Newcomb, your host for the Spirited Outdoors radio show. We've got some really great guests for you this week. We got Jimmy Sykes. Every time we have Jimmy on, we learn that much more. We're also going to have my buddy, Mr. Jimmy Houston, on. We've also got Mr. Nick Munt of the Bone Collector Group. That's this week on the Spirited Outdoor radio show.
Whatever car you're looking for, whatever the price, for how many doors, cars, trucks, and SUVs, the king of the road, Car King. We treat you like royalty, we earn your trust and loyalty. You'll be wearing the crown and you'll start to sing, the king of the road, Car King.
Want to know everything that's going on inside Tech Athletics? Tune in to Bleed Tech Blue, Tuesdays at 6 on ESPN. Host Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, talks with coaches, players. He has the inside scoop, and you can too. Bleed Tech Blue, sponsored by Trenton Interiors & Company, inside the historic Rogers Furniture Building in downtown Ruston. Bleed Tech Blue. Tuesdays at 6 on ESPN 97.7.
Sharing has never meant as much as it does now. We share the things we love most in life for the world to see. But what if we could actually do more with our sharing than just collect likes? What if this sharing could be used to make a difference? Now there's a place where we can put all that sharing to good use. The National MS Society is asking people to make a difference and share what they love with someone else who loves it too. Whether it's surfing, dancing, or whatever is important to you, we've created a place that'll help you get your experience out to the world. If you have a story, share it. If you have a solution, share that too. Join us at wearestrongerthanms.org, because together, we are stronger.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Fuel and fire. That's what I need. You can join us on Talking Sports. 888-993-7762, the Car King Hotline. Also, our text line, 888-993-7762. A quick shout-out to the employees over at Coast, especially Charlotte and Jeff, Mr. Neville himself, Jeff. But you guys keep it rocking over there. But speaking of fuel and fire, of course, that is that which I desire. Let's talk about West Monroe High School football. And to do that, we've got the offensive coordinator, Glenn Hunt, on the show with us. Welcome, Glenn.
Thank you, man. I appreciate y'all giving me a chance on here to talk about West Monroe and how the Rebels are doing.
Well, you guys are, 4-1-1. I know that tie is still a little bit bittersweet for you. You're not real thrilled with that. But
right.
this Friday night, you guys have a struggling Natchitoches Central team coming in, and that's something that you got to focus on now.
Well, there's no doubt about it. We got so many distractions this week because it's homecoming, and West Monroe homecoming does it like no one else. And so just keeping our kids focused, and, we know Natchitoches is struggling with it. We've talked to them about that we got to continue to get better, let's go back. Let's get better, at all the little things. Let's get better blocking and tackling and running routes. And that's what we paid attention to a lot this week, is let's let the Rebels get better.
Well, I know that you guys have made some changes. You've put Slade Bolden under center more. You've got Robert Scott as a receiver more, but you've always got Trey Coleman in the backfield, and you've got Taylor Young roaming around out there wherever you need him. What was the impetus to put Slade Bolden back there even more under center?
Well, after the John Curtis game that we lost in Shreveport, we sit there and we look up back at who's touching the ball, and Slade probably only touched the ball, 5 or 6 times. And so we just made a commitment right there that we were going to get him the ball more. The best way to do that was to have him in the backfield with Trey Coleman. And not to say that we're not going to play Robert Scott, because we're still going to do it, because we're going to use what he does best too. And, since that time, since we've made that switch, Robert Scott is 19 of 22. Since he's kind of been a backup quarterback, he's thrown, probably 3 or 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, and, a very high completion percentage.
Now, I had those 4 guys that I mentioned. I had Slade, Robert Scott, Taylor, and Trey.
Sure.
Right as school started, they were participating in that wiffle ball tournament out at Biedenhorn, and so they were out there playing together, and I just thought that was pretty neat, those guys right at the beginning of school. I don't think they were all 4 on the same team, but they were out there supporting the community, and they were playing with other guys, so a lot of camaraderie on that team. And at a time like this, when everybody honestly, when you're playing football, everybody wants to shine, you know, but there's that team concept, and it already seemed like those guys have what it takes to be able to make a move like this where Robert Scott is, you know, not necessarily the primary quarterback.
Right, you know, we know that Robert Scott was disappointed, but, you know, his main deal is, Coach, I just want to win. You know, I want West Monroe to go back to that Superdome and whatever role it is. He said, I'm willing to do it. And so he's gone and taken on this role as a receiver. He's done a great job, made a huge catch for us the other night. And Slade's just getting better and better each week at throwing the football. You know, he was 8 of 12. This past week for 120 yards and a touchdown, and he's only getting better and better. And this offense is continually, it's going to be, you know, it's we're going to struggle at times because we're so young and not real talented up front, and then we got some kids that are playing hard, but we're young, inexperienced. But at times, this offense, we can be pretty good. But, you know, like I said, it all starts up front and then, you know, getting that ball to Slade.
Right, and then, you know, I mentioned those four guys multiple times. That's the four guys that I know, but those aren't the only weapons that West Monroe has.
No. You know, well, Kyde is doing a great job, Mason Nichols. You know, we're trying to find a way to get him involved in the offense, you know, getting him the ball. And then you got Jairus Henry. He's had three touchdown receptions the last two games. And then you got Snowden, Ethan Snowden, doing an outstanding job for us, receiver. He's our third leading receiver. But, you know, he's catching a ball or two a game. And so when he's out there, teams still have to respect his abilities.
Well, last week, you guys, I thought it was going to be a close game all the way through. It was close at halftime. But then you started pulling away from Ruston, and you ended up winning that one going away 33-17. But, you know, that's a game you've been associated with for a long time. And, you know, it doesn't seem possible that it's been 1990 that the last time Ruston won that game, but that's always a spirited game.
And just like we told our kids all week, you know, 95% of those games have been battles, been really tough contests. And so, you know, 7-3 at half, you know, we, as coaching staff and as our players, we never panic because, you know, we've been there before. You know, Ruston been up almost 10-0, 13-0. On us before. It's just, you know, some way we've been able to pull it out. Ruston defensively the other night was exceptional. We knew they were going to be very good. You know, I talked with our radio guys before the game that I expected a low scoring, you know, 17-10 type game because I respected their defense so much.
Well, I know that this week is Coach Arledge's favorite week of the year. He's just such a fan of homecoming because no distractions or anything.
Yeah.
But you guys have a big task. And again, even though Natchitoches Central is struggling, you can't look past them, and especially with all those distractions.
No doubt. Like I said earlier, we talk to our kids all the time. You know, this week, don't worry about who we're playing. Let's look at ourselves and what can we do to get better. And let's get better. As long as we're getting better, you know, we're going to be okay. And let's don't lose sight of what's important about a homecoming. Yeah, all the dancing and the festivities and all the people coming back and your family, but they're all coming back for one reason, that's to see those Rebels play Friday night.
Yeah, and they're coming back to see them win, so hopefully
Rebels
can pull that off. Let's go back a little bit. Not saying you're old, Glenn, but it's been a while since you played football at Tech.
Yes, we counted it up the other night. It's been 25 years.
Good grief, it doesn't seem like
it. I know it.
So I was there at the same time. And what was your last year again?
1991.
91, okay. So you played in that Maryland game over in Shreveport.
Yes. Yeah,
and
34.
34, yep, that's right. My first question to everybody who played in that game for Tech is, what were y'all telling J.R. Peace? Did y'all want to go for it, or did you want to kick the field goal?
We wanted to go for it. But,
absolutely.
You know, I don't blame him for going to tie because we fought so hard. You know, we got down early in that game, and then we got up big, and they came back. And so when we called that last time out, and he said, you know, field goal team, you know, you know, we loved and respected him so much. You know, we were all for it then, but, you know, we were you know, as a 20-year-old kid, you know, you think you got it won. You're like, hey, we can go score this. But I don't play defense most of the time, not at all.
Well, no, and again, like you said, y'all had fought so hard. What you don't want to do is lose the game.
Exactly, and that's exactly what he was thinking. You know, my kids have fought so hard, we just don't want to lose it.
All right, it's a bowl game.
Good kicker too.
Yeah, he was all right.
Yeah,
he stuck around in the league for a little lifetime or so. So
yeah,
set a few records, but speaking of that, I heard Fox and them talking earlier today. Tex had a pretty good record with kickers.
I was listening to the same show and Stover. You know, I got the snap for Bonio. I got the snap for on field goals and extra points. And then it just kept continuing, even, you know, after them with Scobie and their kickers the last few years. Yep. Penn State is linebacker U, LSU is, you know, DBU, or Tech is kicker U.
You had, before Stover, you had George Bignola, who played in the league for a little while.
I could not remember his name. I was trying to think of it. Thank you.
Yeah, and, you know, Stover was around for a long time. Bonial had great success. Scobie. Had a great success in Jacksonville. Marty Kent, who was before Scobie.
Yeah.
You know, and Marty Kent, you know, he had 251-yarders against Toledo that time. I was sitting up in the press box for that one when Toledo came in. That was Jason Martin's last year, and they just obliterated Toledo. And
right.
I remember Chad Mackey had 5 catches, 4 touchdowns, and 301 yards on 5 catches.
Is that unbelievable, man?
Yeah. And, you know, Marty Kent, if he'd been a little bigger, he'd have been in the league for a long time.
No doubt about that.
You know, he had a leg. He just, you know, at that point, the focus was on putting the football in the end zone.
And Marty
didn't get it to the end zone regularly. So, and he, you know, he told me that was his, you know, when he went down to Seattle, he got called into Seattle, signed with them for, you know, a tryout, basically.
Right.
And that was his big deal. He didn't kick it into the end zone. So, but that guy was accurate, and he was probably the most normal of the kickers.
They're always a little different.
Because Bonial and Stover were both a little psycho.
Yes, they were.
Now, Joe Raymond Peace, everybody loved him. I mean, the guy was defense. I was GA there, and my last game before I went to South Alabama was Utah State in the rain in 94. And that game, 3-0 in the rain.
How about that? Yeah.
So, I mean, that was something.
And he preached toughness. You know, whether you were a receiver, whether you were a quarterback, you were going to be tough. And, you know, he was an old line coach and old lineman. And so he was always toughest on the O-line. And, like, I'm going to forget, Bobby Slaughter had to miss practice one time because he had the flu. And the O-lineman, we got around, like, we could break our arm or leg, and we'd say, Joe Raymond would say, tape it up, get back in there.
You know,
that's
just
what he was. But that's right. But we loved him, man. We'd have ran through any wall in the world for him.
Now, my other big memory of that Independence Bowl against Maryland was the absence of one Eric Shaw. Tell me about that guy.
Unbelievable talent. You know, he was at Tech for that 1 year. Just unbelievable talent. You know, at practice, I got to go against him a lot. And I never wanted to make him mad. Because if you made him mad, you know, he didn't really like to practice. But if you made him mad, his vision would turn it on to game speed. And you could not block the guy. So I would always pat him on the back, give him a hug, and I kept him smiles at practice because he'd kind of loaf at practice. But if he ever got mad, you could not block him.
Do you feel he would have made a big enough difference in that game?
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. You know, because we got pressure on the quarterback, but we had to blitz. And that was the great thing about Eric. You know, he can put pressure on any quarterback. Just like that year, when we almost beat Auburn. He single-handedly kept us in the game because we could drop our guys in the coverage and we could get four-man pressure. And he had 2 or 3 sacks that game.
He made great decisions on the field, but off the field was his downfall. And he ended up turning his life around a little bit and played for the Bengals and was there, I can't remember the title, but their man of the year, kind of citizen of the year 1 year. So,
awesome.
He was an unbelievable talent. I'll never forget those days. I'll never forget JRP. And, you know, it's just it's good to reminisce with you, Glenn. I appreciate your time.
We had Steve Ensminger was offensive coordinator that year.
Oh, yeah.
He's now the offensive coordinator at LSU.
Yep.
And so I still talk to him. You know, he coached with us 1 year at West Monroe, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
And his son,
well, I
his
appreciate
son,
it, man.
Okay. Well, look, Glenn, good luck Friday, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bud. Glenn Hunt, offensive coordinator at West Monroe High School, former Bulldog football player, former tough guy with the Tech Bulldogs under Joe Raymond Peace. We're going to take our next break. You're listening to Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM.
If you or a loved one have been injured or a victim of medical malpractice, you need to go Guerrero. I'm Lauren Guerrero, and my father is Jeff Guerrero. He has helped thousands of people who have been injured in auto accidents, offshore accidents, drug recalls, and victims of medical negligence. So if you or a loved one have been injured through no fault of your own, do what thousands of injured clients have already done. Go Guerrero. Call 24 hours a day at 325-4306 or come by the office at 2200 Forsyth Avenue in Monroe.
All the scores, all the plays, all the playmakers. We will rewind the week in high school football Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. on the High School Football Rewind Show presented by the University Ink Tattoo. This is Mark Kramer. Join me and Terry Waldrop as we break down what happened in high school football. Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. for the High School Football Rewind presented by the University Ink Tattoo on your home for sports in North Louisiana, ESPN 97.7.
All Britain Service Company knows that your home's AC unit is going to be working hard all summer long and well into the fall. Call All Britain today and ask about their complete line of best-in-class Carrier home comfort systems if your old AC unit isn't quite getting it done in this Louisiana heat. All Britain Service Company's technicians can come out and give you an estimate that works with your budget. For more info on financing options, visit allbritainservice.com. All Britain Service Company on East Georgia in Ruston is your factory-authorized Carrier dealer. Carrier, turn to the experts.
Wake up.
Did you know? Wake up and hear what you've been missing.
It's the Nick Brown Show. Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 a.m. on ESPN 97.7. Follow Nick on Twitter, Facebook, and listen online at ESPN977.com. Wake up.
Join us this Saturday.
It's the Nick Brown Show, 8 to 10 a.m. Saturdays on ESPN 97.7.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
That moment, we arrived in the scene.
The storm had nearly destroyed the area.
This was our own community. Friends, family, people we grew up with, went to school with, we were there to help.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
They made it down to the storm cellar, but the house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had chainsaws going, and we had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Right here, close to home, in my state.
It was one of those life-changing moments where I realized I am making a difference in these people's lives and mine. I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
You can serve part-time and be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana National Guard, aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
All aboard!
Welcome back to the program, Talkin' Sports, here on ESPN 97.7. Once again, we are brought to you by Cypress Bend Apartments of West Monroe. For your next apartment, give them a call or go to Cypress Bend Properties. As always, we are presented by D-Bat of Monroe, DBAT for all your baseball and softball training needs, dbatmonroe.com. Thanks again to Dr. Casey Wade, Car King. You can reach us on the Car King hotline, 888-993-7762. And next week we'll get back to having Zach Green give us our What's Hot on the Lot update. So finding out what you can go and look at Car King. Before we get to Cody Futrell, I want to do our golf giveaway, John Tabor. 18 holes for two with a cart. Yours free if you call the program, 888-993-7762 on the Car King hotline at the Jackson Parish Golf Course. Our good friend Tommy Smith, Parks and Recreation Director over there, called in a couple of weeks ago trying to get more people to know what's going on out there. Want people to come from the surrounding area. So it's a 9-hole track, but it's beautiful out there. But 18 holes of golf with a cart for free. You just call them, set it up, show up out there, and play some golf. Again, call us in at 888-993-7762, and that prize can be yours. Now we turn to Cody Futrell of the New Star. We're going to talk a little high school football, and then we'll get on some playoff baseball. Cody, how's it going tonight?
Good, Byron. How's it going?
It's good. We just had Richwood coach Robert Arvey and just finished with West Monroe offensive coordinator Glenn Hunt. So some good games on tap for Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be with Coach Hunt and the Rebels over at Rebel Stadium for homecoming for West Monroe this week against Nacogdoches Central. That offense at West Monroe has just grown leaps and bounds a lot as the offensive line, as we talked about the last time, as the offensive line gets better, so does the offense, and that's been exactly what has happened the last couple of weeks with the Rebels. They have really been impressive offensively.
Last week, were you at that Ruston game?
Yeah, I actually was able to do a double dip last week. OCS and Sterlington played on Thursday night last week. I was able to catch that game, and then West Monroe and Ruston on Friday.
Now, let me ask you this. I've heard some kind of behind-the-scenes rumblings about something happening with an official there. Do you know anything about that?
There was an incident. I was never able to get any details. I don't think there's been any kind of, LHSAA involvement, anything like that. So I don't think that it was necessarily as serious as some people had thought. But there was a flagstone on the sideline, on the Sterlington sideline at one point, and a Sterlington player was ejected. I had a couple of people tell me that a Sterlington player was involved with, got angry and may have touched an official. But I did not see that with my own eyes. But there was an altercation on the sideline at one point with pushing and shoving, and a Sterlington player was ejected from that game.
Yeah, what I had heard was there was some abusive language by an official. But, again, on a team that lost, I'm not saying somebody made it up. I'm just saying you never know. And second and third hand information. But I heard it was something pretty serious. But if nothing's happened from that, then it probably wasn't.
Yeah, I was on the opposite. I was on the opposite side. I was on the press box side of the field, and when that happened, and it was definitely a lot of commotion. And there was a player ejected, but I don't believe really that there was an official that was hit or anything like that intentionally.
Okay. Well, speaking of the OCS game, I had Coach Fitzhugh on last week, and I'm trying to start comparing him to Belichick because Cody Spikes, his linebacker, one of his linebackers, was on the show a few weeks ago, and when I asked him about preparing for their next game, he said, look, we're not necessarily worried about who we're playing. We just know that we're going to do what we do better than they do what they do. And I was like, wow. And that's starting at an early age there, and that's coming from the top down, and I think you and I have talked before about how they've got a program there.
Yeah, that's an interesting segue because just now up, just in the last hour, up on thenewstar.com, and you can see it in the print, the edition tomorrow, I've got a story on Cade Spikes and his transition the last couple of years. He's a kid that had always been a defensive player, had always been a great linebacker for the Eagles, had never been on offense before, but there was a need for him to play fullback last year. He did that. They won district, rolled through district, had a great season. this year, all five offensive linemen last year's team graduated. They asked him to come play offensive guard. He had never in his life played that position before, but he's got such a high IQ and is such a high motor guy and so physical that Coach Fitzhugh and Coach Mosher, the offensive line coach, knew that he could do it. And it's really worked out well. That's a great kid that has, really, really good to talk to. Very, very high football IQ, and he's really doing well for the Eagles this year. And yeah, that was probably the most impressive game in a few years for OCS. It was an emotional game. It was very physical, very emotional, chippy at times. There was a good amount of penalties throughout the night. You know, it was a big district game. It was a huge crowd, and OCS just dominated from top to bottom. The Sterlington offense that had been so dominant with the running back Devontae Douglas and fullback Tyler Muse, they really had no answer last week for OCS. They couldn't get anything going, and OCS was able to pretty much pick them apart defensively as well. The Eagles quarterback Grant Fitzhugh, Stephen Fitzhugh's son at quarterback, three touchdowns rushing and 150 yards and two touchdowns passing as well. So he had a very, very impressive night.
Well, you know, this Friday night, West Monroe's got homecoming. They're hosting Natchitoches Central, who's struggling, to say the least, at 2-4. And, you know, Coach Arledge is not a huge fan of homecoming because of all the distractions. He is a fan of homecoming, but he knows the distractions that it brings to high school football players. But I don't think that West Monroe's going to have too much trouble with Natchitoches Central this Friday night.
Yeah, you know, West Monroe has a huge production, musical production that the senior football players are involved in with the homecoming court and the musical people there that they do on Thursday nights. They debut, and then they do it again for the student body on Friday morning. It's an entire week of preparation for that and rehearsals, and they have to get in, of course, practice and film study for football. So it's a very hectic week for West Monroe every year at homecoming. But certainly, if they could pick an opponent, maybe outside of Pineville, I think that this would be the one that you'd want to have for this week. You know, this is a Natchitoches Central team that just came to Monroe and played Wichita last week, lost that game. I believe it was 58-35. So they scored some points, but Devion Warren, the quarterback for Wichita, 222 yards and six touchdowns rushing, and also had a passing touchdown as well. He had seven touchdowns in that one game that he had a hand in. They're really struggling to stop the run, and coming into Rebel Stadium, if you're struggling to stop the run, it tends to probably be a very problematic night.
Right, absolutely. And speaking of Wichita, 4-2 is at Ash, 4-2, but Ash's two losses include one to those OCS Eagles.
Yeah, Ash is a team that every year can score points, but they can't stop any. They can't stop air hardly. They really just have a bad night, it seems, every week on defense. And Wichita should be able to win that game as well. You know, Devion Warren, one of the most electric players in the area, committed to Arkansas, to the Razorbacks. And anybody who hasn't seen him, if you get a chance to, definitely want to check him out before he's gone. Another great Northeast Louisiana high school player. And with those two should-be wins for Wichita and West Monroe, sets up a huge de facto, because there'll still be a couple of games left, but what I'm considering to be the District 2-5A championship game at Lions Stadium at Wichita the following week.
Absolutely. We've also got, where'd I go? Ruston is at Pineville. Pineville struggled, like you said, last week against Wichita. And then, interestingly enough, what I've heard, okay, Tioga is 6-0. They're at Bastrop. I think they'll have a tough time with the Bastrop Rams, but Tioga has their sights set on those Neville Tigers.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Neville is probably the best team in the area, has been all year, and they just keep rolling along. They have one of the best defensive backfields on any team in this area in a long, long time, leading the area in interceptions. So I think the second straight year, Brett Hudson has a story on our website right now about them. You need to go check out. That is a really, really deep defensive backfield. They've got a very, very talented offense. As well, Jaden Cole, the returning starter at quarterback. Look for those Tigers to make some noise again in the 4A playoffs. You mentioned Bastrop. They have two people, the quarterback and the wide receiver, are both among the top leaders in statistics in passing and receiving for the entire state right now. Quaterius Hawkins, the first-year starting quarterback, a sophomore. He's only a sophomore at Bastrop. 1,307 yards passing and 15 touchdowns in just six games. And he is a top target, Christian Smith, 39 catches in just six ball games, 483 yards, and he's got five of those 15 touchdowns that Hawkins has thrown. That Bastrop offense has not missed a lick since Jerry Powell graduated last year.
All right, Cody, a minute and a half. I know you're an Astros fan, so sorry about that, but what are your impressions right now of the National League playoffs?
I think it starts and ends with the Cubbies. You know, it started and ended with them all year. I think if you aren't a Cubs fan, even if you're not a Cubs fan, and I guess outside of maybe being a Cardinals fan, you've got to want to see these guys finally break this this curse, if you will, for not winning a World Series, I think, since 1908. You know, you've got to want to see that. I think that makes for great TV and great sports. And very few things can you see celebrations outside of sports like that. So, you know, that'd be kind of cool to see. But, you know, they were able to finally take care of the Giants last night. And so they'll have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And, you know, I've got to put my money on the Cubs right now.
Well, I'm a Dodgers fan, so I'm morally obligated to hate the Giants. So I'm glad that went well. But if my Astros, if my Dodgers don't win it, I'm rooting for the Cubs. You know, I'm not a Patriots fan either. And when they had the chance to go undefeated as a sports fan, I would have liked to witness history. But I'd be actually rooting for those Cubs if my Dodgers are not in it. So, Cody, thanks again for your time. Remind us how we can follow you this week.
You can log on to thenewstar.com, either mobile or we have a mobile app, or you can log on your computer for thenewstar.com. And also on Twitter, I am at CFutrailTNS. They're on Twitter.
Cody, we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks again, brother.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Well, that's Talking Sports for this Wednesday evening. Again, we're brought to you by Cypress Bend Apartments of West Monroe, CypressBendProperties.com, Car King with a Car King hotline, Dr. Casey Wade of Monroe, and as always, we're presented by DBAT of Monroe, DBATMonroe.com. Thanks to John Tabor for hosting us and keeping us straight. We'll talk to you next week, Talking Sports, ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the best of Talkin' Sports with Byron. To listen to the show live, tune in every Saturday to ESPN977.com or subscribe to the show in iTunes, on Stitcher, or at RedPeachSports.com.